Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 28th day of June, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, it is now or never. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. As a side note, from now on, whenever I'm writing to people and I mention Jacob's name, Israel, I will spell it I-S-H. R-A-E-L, so it is differentiated from the bastard nation of Israel, which is a lie, and that we differentiate between the man and the imposters, the Revelation 2, verse 9 people that occupy what used to be the Holy Land. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. For those of us here in the country, it'd be Bora Da, which is good morning, and to the folks over yonder, it's Prinhan Da, which is good afternoon. Kumri Ambith. We will take callers later on in the program. We do ask that you be mindful and maintain your manners. Do not walk on top of the other callers. Also, keep your language with proper decorum. We have a mixed audience. Our website is PastorDan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together. No spaces or special characters, just PastorDan.net. And we do have the Daily Mail page there, because some folks have been asking me about emails, etc. They are kind of playing with that system today, so if in doubt, go to the Daily Mail page on PastorDan.net, and things that I believe are pertinent to what's going on today will be posted there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Yahweh is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient with us, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, repentance. You know, the church beats people up with that as if it's like the Catholic Church used to have monks that would beat themselves with a whip and things like that. Nonsense. You just tear the word apart. It's a compound word. Re means to do again. Pense. Pense in French, to think. Repentance. Rethink. Come out of your fog. Come out of your confusion and your state of confusion and look at reality instead of the make-believe, which in most cases means you need to shut the goddamn television off. Sorry, folks, but it's wake-up time. As the title says, it's now or never. All right? You need to speak up, you need to pray up, and you need to come back into a state of repentance now. Not a week from now, not a year from now, not a decade from now, right now. Time is up. We've been talking about this for over 20 years. Now, that seems like a long time for us folks down here, right? In Yahweh, in the eternal realm, it is a blink of an eye. You were told, as 2 Peter chapter 3 here tells us, he is slow in our way of thinking, wishing that all would come to repentance. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded you? Now again, not a suggestion. Commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For Yahweh, your Elohim God, is with you wherever you go. So, the darts of the devil, the wiles of the evil ones, yeah, they are a source of contention. They are pricks in our side, as the scripture calls them. And if you've ever wandered around the fields of a farm, as I did as a boy, you know that the prickly bushes and the thorns on certain bushes can tear you up if you're not careful. So, just as traversing through the woods and around the streams on the farm, you have certain plants and bushes and even trees that have thorns, and they can hurt like hell. However, they don't overcome you. They don't kill you. They are pricks in your side, meaning they are a source of irritation. In fact, there's a few plants where I currently reside that have like an oil or a poison on them. So not only do they irritate when they poke you, but for some hours afterwards, they will be sore and itchy. And that's what these wicked around us are like, okay? They're an irritant to us. And that's where we've reached the point of it is now or never, folks. Now or never. So hang on there, Phil. I'll get to you in just a second, buddy. So I want to go over a few things this morning. I did not get that message on my own. It was late last night. I happened to look at a YouTube channel called The Good Patriot. I would highly recommend this channel to you. It's a young lady in Texas, very well-spoken and very outspoken, that she put out a YouTube, short one, where it was her opinion that it's time to speak up. In other words, get involved, because it's now or never. And I agree with her, and there are many other articles. News with Views had some articles talking about that very subject, and Colonel Roy Potter, many others. We have reached the point, as John Mark and Kurt Doolittle with the Propertarians have talked about, we have reached an impasse with these communists, these Jewish-led and funded communists in our land. There is no chance of coexisting with these people. None, folks, none. It's either their way or our way. And those of us who have studied history, especially the writings of people like Alexander Solzhenitsyn, we know what the Bolsheviks do when they come to full power. You're only getting a very small sampling of the mischief and the evil that these people will commit. What we see today with Black Lives Matter and Antifa and other leftist, Zionist, communist organizations, what they're doing today in America is tiny compared to what they've done to our cousins 100 years ago in the Ukraine and in Russia. White Russia, not the red Bolshevik Mongoloid Russia that became afterwards, but the Tsarist White Russia, meaning the Christian Russia. You see, these Zionist dogs hate Christ, and they hate anything of the Bible and Yahweh God. And don't hand me the lying BS from the churches that, oh, they're God's chosen people, Dan. They study the Bible. They believe in the Bible. Oh, you have a point. They do study the Bible, but they look for loopholes to get you with it. They look for verses that they can twist and turn to get you to accept their Bolshevism, their Marxism. They don't study it because they believe in it. They study it because you can be led with it. What they study and go by is the Talmud. T-A-L-M-U-D, the Talmud. That's their holy book. The rantings and ravings of rabbis over the centuries. Psychotic, antisocial, demonic, evil, narcissistic, schizophrenic Jews. It's now or never to speak up not only about the evils going on, but the root of the tree of evil, as Henry David Thoreau talked about. The root of the tree of evil is Judaism and Jews in general. Because some Jews admit that they're atheists. I worked for some Jews many years ago, and this guy's name was Ben. And Ben admitted that he was an atheist, because I caught him eating a ham sandwich one day, and I sort of jumped on his case a little bit. I said, Ben, aren't you Jewish? Oh, yeah, but I don't practice. Oh, I see. So you're a Jew when it's convenient, but you don't even go through the ruse of trying to pretend, do you? No, I don't believe in any of that. Ah, I see. So again, they let their guard down when they don't think people are watching. You see, he didn't know that I was identity. He didn't know that I was observing him as a soldier of the cross, looking at his enemy and observing his enemy at work. And he's not the only Jew that I observed this way. They all operated exactly the same way. Once you take the rose-colored glasses off, and you look at them in reality without the filter, without the propaganda coming across these toilets called televisions and other flat-screen devices, the electronic toilets where they spew their poison upon all of us. So the topic today, again, we're going to focus on why is it now or never? I agree with the Good Patriot, because it is now or never. It's obvious. As the nose on your face, all of these signs of obedience, such as wearing masks and social distancing, they have nothing to do with health, folks. They have everything to do with identifying the willing slaves of the New World Order and those who will not bend the knee. Yahweh is separating the wheat from the chaff, or in other words, the wheat from the tares. He's also, and we're going to read about it in Revelation 18 here in a bit, he's also pushing his children away from Babylon. Can you feel the pressure? I know I do. I don't want to be around these people wearing masks. That's why I walked out of the American Legion a few days ago and told them I would never come back. They tried to get me to wear a mask. They're going through all the crap. And I just looked at him and I said, no, I'm sorry, I cannot participate. And I will not fellowship with cowards and low IQ cucks of the white race. So my time with the American Legion is over. And my time with any white people that feel that way are over. It's all over. I don't care if they're a relative, a friend, a neighbor, an associate, even a fellow identist. If you don't love your race, if you're not willing to fight and die for your race, then what fellowship do we have together? Because we've reached that point, folks. This is the Rubicon that we're crossing right now. This is the point of no return. You will make up your mind whether you're going to go the way of the Antichrist or you will stay as an overcomer. We've reached it. It's no longer just intelligent talk or prophetic talk. It's not fireside chat, what if. No, you're there, folks. You're at the bank of the Rubicon right now. And for the folks that don't know the story of the river Rubicon in Italy, with the Roman army many centuries ago, then you need to go read about it. What does crossing the Rubicon talk about? All right, let's see what Phil has to share with us this morning, if I can get the software to work. All right, now I believe I got you, Phil. Welcome to the program.
Hi, hello. How are you doing today? Great program.
So far, so good.
Yeah, I'm still got a pulse, you know. It's like that's, I mean, this world that we live in, you just have to get some duct tape so your head doesn't explode. Yesterday, I drove around and I went up to my one of my health. It's a little vitamin shop that I go to, and it's a small little, operation. And I went in there and I talked to the guy, and he of course didn't have a mask on, and we were talking about that. And he said, yeah, he said he went to Publix grocery store to go shopping, and he refused to wear a mask. He said I didn't have a problem with the employees. He said it was the customers that were just looking at me, cussing me out because I was somehow endangering them for not wearing the stupid mask. And he said, this is just, and I explained to him, just like you point out, that the mask is totally, it's detrimental to the person that wears it far more than it, than it's any, it's beneficial or, and it's an absolute joke. What we're seeing right now is we're seeing what's going on, what was going on in Germany in the 19 in the post-World War I era, with the hyperinflation and the absolute total collapse. The expected GDP collapse over the next quarters is estimated to be 46.5% of the United States gross domestic product. That is an insane amount of production that is lost. And it's all because of this COVID crap, and it's all because of this Black Lives Matter stuff. And if you look at the Antifa, if you look at the history of Antifa, if you look at their logo, it's the exact same one that they used in Germany during the attempted communist uprising at the end of World War I. In fact, it has the same logo. It has the exact same. It's verbatim, and it has the same name. You also have the fist and everything. It's everything is exactly the same. And if you get a there's a book that I recommend that everyone get. It's called Communism in Germany: The Truth About the Communist Conspiracy on the Eve of the National Revolution, by Adolf Erst, and I believe it was written in around 1934. And it points out that the huge numbers of police that were killed by the Marxist revolutionaries. And this unfortunately is a necessary thing to happen in this country in order for us to wake up. And because to us, communism is a kind of, it's a game, and it's not, you'll never hear anything about but we talk about the 60 million dead. You never hear anything. You never see anything that about that. In Hollywood, I think I only know about two films regarding the Bolsheviks. One of them was Reds, which was a glorification of John Reed, who was an American communist who went over there, and the other one is Dr. Zhivago, which is a romance. And neither one of them had anything, talked about anything about the Holodomor or anything like that.
Right.
And that's what you're seeing today. You had in Germany, you had the Versailles Treaty, and the Versailles Treaty, you had to, you had reparations to pay for France. Now, of course, the French people, they didn't get anything from that. It all went to the Jew bankers. If it did go to them, that would create inflation in France, and so and the French people would be, would feel ashamed of it, and because of their and the French are, of course, they're white Europeans, and they don't want to have that. But in this situation, we're having these blacks that are being being used, and blacks go for it. They take it because it's free stuff. They don't have to do anything. And so they're gonna give that to the black in order to elevate him financially and artificially, because he's not actually creating anything, he's just being given a free ride. And so the more he riots, the more benefits he gets. And you know, the problem we have is this, you know, they say, well, we have to end systemic racism. We do have to end systemic racism, and we have to end the anti-white racism. And that's it. And until we do that, you know, it's going to get really, 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 really bad. And we're going to need to not hesitate to hate our enemies. If you know, the difference between the white racist or the white racially conscious individual towards the Negro and the Negro is two things. One, the difference is that the white man saw the black as a sort of a pet. He was a you know, if he did something bad, it was like your dog. You know, well, he's drooling over there, or he's licking himself. Okay, that's what dogs do. You know, he's trying to hump the girl. Okay, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to hump the girl, and they go after the girl, and they don't hesitate to go after the girl. I mean, I remember I had a little side job working at a parking. I was managing a parking a parking lot at a school. For the Tampa Bay Rays baseball team, and half the money that went for the parking fees went to us, and the other half went to the school for their benefits. And right next door was this black church, and I would see the black pastor up there, and he and one of his cronies, and they're trying to get people to park there too, and in their parking lot, and they're sitting there drooling on any girl that had a big butt. And I mean, it wasn't like they were like hiding it. It was just like, they're just sitting there drooling and grabbing themselves. It was hideous. It was like, oh my God, this is a person to be a man of God, you know? And, it was unabashedly ashamed. And, so that's what they're going to, you know, that's what they're trying to do. I saw they marched into, Beverly Hills, and they were literally chanting, "Eat the rich." You know, eat the rich, eat the rich, eat the rich. And we're going to find that this is going to become extremely bad. And the problem that you have, unfortunately, with Scripture is that you can use it from each of his abilities to whatever his needs are, you know, the Marxist slogan. Where the rich have to give to the poor, and if you don't do it, you're bad. That does come out of the Bible. It really does, especially the New Testament, and they use that as a manipulative tool to destroy our people. And because if you have no hierarchy of society, then you can't have you can't have whites be where they're at. Because whites earn it. And here you're giving them something. You're giving it to the black simply because he's black and he's completely incapable of catching up. So you have to lower all the standards. You have to eliminate everything that's unnatural in this country is natural. It's totally unorganic. What the United States is. People don't come to America for freedom. Okay, that's just total BS. They come to America to make a buck. That's it. And they think that America is just, and everybody lives on, you know, gold paved roads, and they have nice cars, and you know, and there's crushing poverty in this country. And you get people to come over from the other countries like China, for instance, and they're like shocked, like, holy cow, you know, I thought this place was like, you know, really, really, really rich, and we promote ourselves as the place everyone needs to go to. And if you don't, and if you deny them the dream, you're a meanie, you know. That's what the whole thing with Martin Luther King was that a psyop, where all you ever think about is his "I have a dream" speech, and his "I have a dream" speech is a copy of another speech that was he stole it from somebody else from early in the 20th century, and it's essentially saying is, "I have a dream that you, white man, will give me your daughters to have sex with." That's what it is, because he was obsessed with having sex with white women, and he would abuse them massively. And when you see these whites marching with the blacks, They're trying to get them to go out there and fight people. They're trying to get the blacks to cause the problem so that you can get rid of the damn blacks. This is exactly what it is, and we don't see them as a threat. Okay, we see the whites see the black as a pet, as sort of a crazy little animal, you know, kid that just needs to grow up, but he never will because he doesn't have the brain capacity to do so. The black sees the white in our postmodern age is as totally evil. He's taught that he's evil, okay, and that everything that he does is bad. And yet the black really, really wants to be put in its place because they hate themselves far more than they do the whites. Since it's the law of the jungle, the only thing they see is force. That's the only thing they recognize is force. And the woman, a white woman, will kowtow to the black because the white man is not doing anything to the black. We say it's the Second Amendment. We say we had to have our guns, but you're not shooting anybody. If you're not shooting anybody, your gun is just a stick that looks kind of scary. It doesn't do anything. And I saw the mobs in London on Downing Street, and they were attacking the cops. Those cops didn't have guns. So some of them, of course, did. Do carry guns, but those didn't. And the reason the cops traditionally didn't carry guns since the 1840s is because there's a systemic fear in England of the army, because they saw the army as nothing but tyranny, and because this goes all the way back to Henry VIII's persecution of the Catholic Church and all sorts of things. And so they are very hesitant about the. They see the police, of course, as an extension of the army, and they don't want the police to have weapons. And the lowest of the low join the army, but the ones who wanted to fight for freedom in England, they joined the navy. You know, Old Britannia ruled the waves. The navy was the one that saved England. Was the one that was protecting England from invaders. But the army was seen as nothing but a detriment to their liberty and freedom, and here we're having exactly the same thing happening over here, and the police are fleeing. I saw that 275 cops in the NYPD have put in for early retirement, and as I was mentioning about the Bolshevik Revolution and Antifa, well, where's Antifa at? Where'd it come from? Brooklyn. Who's from Brooklyn? Leon Trotsky.
Jews.
Leon Trotsky, yeah. Is from Brooklyn. The same group is there, okay? And they're just buying their time. And what we're also seeing is the establishment of the Union League. If your listeners should research the Union League. And the Union League was a Republican, that's Republican Marxist organization that took over the South at the end of the war. It was made up of carpetbaggers, Northern industrialists, Jewish bankers, and black soldiers from the Union, and they took away the rights of the whites to they disenfranchised them. They didn't allow them to vote. Okay, they took their homes. They killed people. Okay, en masse. And the blacks controlled everything. Controlled the juries. If you ever see it on an election night, you'll say, "This is the first black congressman from Tennessee since Reconstruction," or "the first black mayor of Atlanta since Reconstruction," or from all these since Reconstruction. You wonder, why is that? And that's because the South had been turned into a giant Republican bloc. That's what the whole purpose of the war was. That's why Lincoln refused the peace delegations from from uh, from the Confederacy. There were two of them sent to him, and he refused them. And this is the whole point of the matter. The Republicans are a Marxist organization founded by a group known as the 48ers, because they came over here from Europe in 1848. They're Marxists, and they wanted to use the blacks to replace the church with the state. And that's the whole purpose of it. The state is your savior. This is why blacks vote overwhelmingly for big government, for the federal government. Regardless, they'll vote for the federal government. Originally, they were of course voted for the party of Lincoln, and the Union League established a blackocracy in the South. Okay, and. It was with black rule and everything else. It was tyrannical, and the only reason why it was turned over is because they did not cooperate with the party in Washington. They were too radical, and so they weren't able to be easily manipulated. Well, now we have exactly the same thing happening in the entire United States, and you're seeing the gays, the blacks, you know. Every sort of perversion, everything you could imagine is on one side, okay, taking over everything. You know, you're having to be forced to go to associate with homosexuals, and you're tearing down these statues. You know, this is an iconoclast movement, which is exactly what happened with the Christians in Europe. They destroyed all the monuments that are white. They're white, okay. At first, they destroyed the goddess statue, any women, okay, and because that was seen as sexual, that was seen as bad, and they would destroy the breasts and the face and everything. In particular, they'd bash those in, and we don't have any female statues here in the United States, none at all. All the women are basically just models and porn stars, and they don't do anything. And our ancient ancestors. We looked at the woman not for what she was, what she is, okay, but what she did. And that, in other words, she's not just because she's not looked at because she's good looking, but because she's the guardian of the race. And the men are blaming the women, and the women are blaming the men, and no one's fighting for anything. If you don't have a woman to fight for, especially for the white man, there's really you've lost your will to fight in essence, and that's why the Germans fought so damn well in the war, because they knew what the hell was going to happen to their women if they lost, which they were proven absolutely correct. So these Bolsheviks are overwhelming our society, and the media is eating it up, and you're seeing an undermining of everything from NASCAR, sports are pretty much shot. This game is being played, so that you realize that there is a racial issue, and you're being forced you're having to force to face it. And the Northerners didn't want to have blacks anywhere around them. And Lincoln was a free soiler. He did not want to have blacks in the West. Okay, when he says it's free soil, it says they don't want slaves. People think, oh, he just didn't want slavery. No. Slavery and black, and if you say Negro, nigger, slave, it meant the same thing. It was all the same. Okay, and so when he said he didn't want slaves, he didn't want blacks, because he saw that it's taking away jobs from white people, okay, but what he did was the Emancipation Proclamation, it freed the slaves outside the Union, but it kept the slaves in the Union. Again, slavery can be seen as both it was seen traditionally as just as much of a racial thing as an economic thing, but you can also use it as an economic thing. And so he didn't want them around there. And there were no blacks in Illinois and Indiana, In fact, you could go to jail if you kept the black more than 3 days in Indiana. You had a mandatory prison sentence, and this is why the Underground Railroad, which is an absolute failure when you look at the numbers, they went to Canada. They didn't go to Michigan or Ohio. They went right up to Canada.
Phil, let me interrupt something. I got a note from a fellow that he's like you. He's well-read, a historian. He said something about the Underground Railroad was actually originally to ferret Confederate soldiers, sneak them out of the South. It wasn't to get blacks to freedom. Have you ever heard anything like that?
I have not heard that. No, I've never heard that. No, but it was. If you look at the numbers, because the Underground Railroad lasted far longer than the city. There was no Confederacy during the history of the Underground Railroad. There wasn't a Confederacy until 1861, but the Underground Railroad lasted quite a number of years. But when you look at the numbers, it's an absolute abject failure at the number of blacks, because they didn't want to leave because they were treated well, and which is why they went back to the plantations and everything else. Because they were treated well, and they wanted a good job, and they were afraid to go out and actually get a job. And I've not heard that at all.
Okay.
I have not.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. Right. The Underground Railroad existed before there was a Confederacy, so mm-hmm. that sort of puts a kibosh on that idea. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. With the topic of it's now or never, do you see us at the Rubicon, on the banks of the Rubicon at this time? The left and the right are, people use left-right, but it's basically evil versus good, biblical versus Satan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you think
yeah.
we're on the banks of the Rubicon?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we are seeing the total implosion of the West. And you have to stop being afraid of the Jews. And I mean, it's just because they fund something doesn't mean they're necessarily responsible. You know, the Black Lives Matter thing. Okay, blacks are blacks because that's what they are, and that was their long before there was ever a speckle, a spark in Moses' eye. Okay. And the Jews didn't make that. That's just what blacks are. And you're seeing that over in England, for instance, they're allowing the blacks to march, okay, and protest. But the cops are stopping any counter protests,
Right.
So they're trying to equalize you out. And unfortunately, our race is responsible for nearly every civilization, and I mean real civilization on face of the earth.
Right.
There was a sociologist in the turn of the century. He calculated that the white European peoples are responsible for around 15 civilization types. The Chinese around 3. Okay, and even those, as you know, may have white European origins, and the blacks have a grand total of 0. They are a regressive race. Okay, if blacks can be successful if they are under strict white supervision, they can be very successful. Okay, but they have to be in a white society. Once the black gets to a certain point and within society, it becomes it undermines, it's a self-perpetuating thing, and the society breaks down, and it's not able to sustain itself.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let me postulate something here, and since you're a brainiac, I'll get you to either bear witness to it or refute what I say, but it just mm-hmm. it popped in my head as you were just now describing that. Because I've read a lot of books, a lot of testimonials of missionaries that were in Africa. One of my good friends is a former military colonel, military intelligence. He became a Christian, spent many years in Africa. So, you know, and I've got friends in South Africa and different Rhodesia and places like that. So, but as you were speaking, I started thinking about the different books. I'm reading one book about the Buddha and Gandhari, and that northeastern or northwestern part of India where Buddha and the Aryan peoples were in ancient times. I've read about Confucius. I've read about the greatest naval commander in China's history, which was Hu. And if you look at any descriptions of him, it was obvious he was at least partially white, if not completely Caucasian. The very fact that China calls, in ancient times, they called him the Khans. That's a Hebrew term, the Khan, the ruler. Okay, Genghis Khan, red hair, green or blue eyes. Even Attila the Hun, obviously Caucasian, auburn hair. You know, so on and on it goes. You look at all of the societies throughout the world. You read the ancient cultures. They always considered a bearded white man as their god, and establisher of their civilization. That's all through Central America, South America, etc. Even in Japan, the Ainu people were the ancient rulers of ancient Japan, and the Ainu lived in the mountainous regions in northern Japan, and if you look at them, they look European. You look at the Indian tribes of North America, the ones that were civilized, all of them European. You look at the Huron up in Canada. I saw a picture online of a festival they had here recently. It looked like it could have been in downtown Ireland. Okay, the Huron, the Iroquois, the Comanche—not the Comanche, but the the ones down here in the southeast. Oh, what the hell? I can't think of it.
Cherokee?
No, not the Cherokee. Yeah, the Cherokee, the original people. Okay, so, and they all spoke dialects of the Celtic languages. So my point that I'm getting at is Charles Murray, in his book Human Accomplishment, and other researchers, everything you've read, everything I've read, I would postulate to you that our race was the instigator of virtually every civilization that ever accounted to anything. Not just some. Every single civilization that ever rose up out of the ashes was under the leadership of our people. Now, would you agree with that statement or not?
Yes. Yes, I would absolutely 100% agree with that. And so since the monsters of Babylon of the and the Bible, unfortunately, hates civils. It hates the, you know, it demonizes Babylon. It demonizes civilization, unfortunately, and so that what they're doing is they're destroying it so they can then rebuild it. Okay, I hate to, you know, and all this stuff is exactly, you're exactly right, and our society is based on debt. It doesn't actually produce anything. Okay, almost every company that you know of doesn't actually do what it needs to do. Okay, what it says it does, you know, it's basically just a money laundering scheme, and like, for instance, and an interesting thing is that over in St. Louis, they have a big statue of St. Louis, and he's riding on his horse and he's holding a cross. And the Marxists want to tear it down. Well, that's a white man, okay, and he's a French king, and they want to tear him down because he's a racist, and they're calling anyone who supports him a KKK guy. Okay, he's a member of the KKK. Well, you could say that he is a member of the KKK, and so they're going to so anything that's white is KKK. Anything that's white is Nazi, National Socialist. Okay, and so, and anything. And because that has order and purpose, and so if they tear, and there's a priest that was standing up there defending St. Louis and what he had done for civilization, and the the mobs were threatening him and threatening to tear down the cathedral. They're gonna destroy that. So, and which is a, you know, which is what they did in Russia, and that represents civilization, you know, and it's white rule, and it's always been that way. Whites have always been seen as the civilizers, and if you get rid of that civilizing, and that's been a good thing on the one hand, but it's also been a detriment on the other, because you have this white man's burden that has been so burdensome that we're not able to even reproduce ourselves anymore. And you look at, for instance, Cortez. Cortez went into Mexico, and he sailed from Cuba over to Mexico, and he didn't intend to necessarily conquer it. He was just exploring. But he conquered it simply because he saw the Aztecs were committing sacrifice of people, you know, and he was just absolutely appalled by it. He saw it as morally reprehensible and he saw it as his Christian duty to destroy it.
Right.
And now, unfortunately, this has backfired because that was done because the MUDs, okay, basically, were incapable of, they could go so far, but they weren't able to produce enough to eat. And so this, sacrificing their own people, and the people were taught that being sacrificed was actually a blessing. It was an honor thing to do. This is how it was done. Now, if he had just simply said, okay, let's trade with you, I want to get the hell out of here, okay, this is disgusting, you know, but I don't want to have anything to do with it, and he left, okay, then it would be a self-perpetuating thing, and there would be a limitation on the population growth. Once he gets rid of that, now you have this, you know, that you have no a control of the, you know, of the thinning the herd, as they say, you know, in the third world, in the non-white world, and the whites say, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, and they want to do it, and you don't let them do it, you end up having a situation where they are they're overproducing they're in population, and they're not able to produce food, enough sustenance for themselves, and then you end up having to be the one to feed them. And this is essentially what you're having. This is what they're doing in Africa. You know, they're removing the white farmer, who's, as you know, is the best farmer in the world. And they're replacing it with a Negro. And you have to be disciplined to be a farmer. You have to get up in the morning. You have to be an expert on just about every little thing. You have to be good at math. You have to be able to know about plants and animals and animal husbandry and all these things. It takes discipline to be a farmer. And blacks are horrible at it because they don't have any discipline. And as I was referring about blacks, I saw a lecture by a white linguistics expert, and he said that every black language is so primitive that they don't have any concept of past, present, and future. There's only one word. In fact, some of the languages only have like 800 words in their entire vocabulary, and so they don't have any. So if it's not immediate, they don't understand. You have to prepare for the future. And there's a consequence. This is why birth control doesn't work in Africa, okay? Because birth control requires you to, okay, I'm going to have sex now. What am I going to do? Should I wear a condom? Should she take the pill or whatever? Because if we don't, we're going to have children. And they say, well, I don't have a problem now, so why worry about it? And they cannot grasp that. And so this is why traditional birth control methods and stuff in Africa just simply don't work. You have to – And the blacks are acting, they overreact on everything. They see something that happens, you know, and they act emotionally. They're totally emotionally driven people, far more than white women are. Okay, they're way more. Everything is emotional when it comes to the blacks, and they're the most easily manipulated people, and And so
that's why the Jews want them in here, because they know they can turn mm-hmm. on and off emotions using the electronic toilets very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so. I mean, they're like puppets. I mean, you know, I mean, and they don't ever think. They just simply react. And it's all about, this is all about feelings, you know. And World War II was, you know, the Germans were a bunch of meanies. Well, this time they're going to be nice about it. And if we don't do anything, we're toast. And if you see what's happening over in Europe, you see that the Eastern Europeans are far more white conscious and nationalist than anything in the West, because in places like France and everywhere, you know, and England, the Marxism was very subtle. It kind of grew, you know, and of course you had the French Revolution, and now they're calling for the guillotine, and you're literally seeing that the Marxists calling for the guillotine. So. And we have to. I just can't grasp what's going on in this country. It's very scary. And it's really absolutely scary. I predict that blacks will be brought over here from Europe. That's what I predict. And what's going to happen is because we had destroyed Europe, and and it wasn't just the Jews that did it. It was American industrialists who wanted to make a buck, and they saw the handwriting on the wall. So yeah, we better join you because we can make a lot of money, and they did that, and that's why they put in all the industries in Russia. So and that's what I think is going to happen. They're going to start bringing in blacks from over in Europe. And I saw they had an interview with Angela Merkel, that piece of garbage, and she said, "Well, it looks like America is no longer going to be a superpower," and that's what they're probably going to do. And so what this will do is, this will make the whites hate Europeans for bringing the blacks over here, so it'll make whites even hate themselves even more. I can't tell you how painful this is. This is, you know, I see what's going to happen, and it's they're playing it out. We're going to have to join this Union League has taken over the entire country, So you have the cops kneeling on the ground, you know, and literally kissing the feet of the black.
Do you think they're real cops or just actors? Do you think that they are even possibly Israelis dressed up as cops or paid off
amongst our race?
Do you think they're real cops?
Yes. I think that they're intentionally humiliating themselves in order to make a point. Okay, they are doing this in order to put on a show. Okay, because I've seen these on these riots. I've seen these evangelicals coming down there. I saw the guy from Chick-fil-A. You know, the Christian of Christian companies when it comes to fast food, if that's even possible. You know, and he was literally washing the feet of some mud on a television show. And yes, they are. They're doing this in order to make, because what happens is that for the black to be shot by a cop, he has to, okay, on it, he'll shoot like four or five people before he'll get shot. While the white guy, he statistically is more likely to get shot on the first time, rather than a black. And so what happens is that now you're opening floodgates and you're getting rid of the police, okay? And now the blacks can just go rampant and start shooting, you know. And the black and all you do with the police with the blacks is you send them into the prison and they just, and you have to feed them. I mean, it's been estimated that I saw the statistic that every working white person will pay $385,000 to support a black in his lifetime. Every single white American will pay, working white American will pay that much money to take care of a Negro. Okay? And all you're going to do is you're going to send him to jail where it's even more expensive to take care of him, you know. But this way, at least they'll be able right. to shoot each other. Okay? So, yeah, they're doing this, you know. And
well,
the
you
black,
know.
You know. Yeah.
Do you think the white race is ever going to repent and seek out Yahweh's law? Because Yahweh's law would eliminate every bit of this. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because these criminals wouldn't be here. The rapists, the kidnappers, traitors, murderers, they'd be dead.
The problem is that with all due respect, Yahweh's law says, or the way it's interpreted, the way it's looked upon, is that every single person is equal in the eyes of God, because there's only one God in the Bible. Okay, there is because it's monotheistic. Okay, you're forced to be universalist. See, you can't allow any other kind of. Yeah, you have to. You have to. All other gods are devils.
It doesn't. Yeah, there is one God, but that does not make everybody equal. That does not make everybody
it denies any kind of spirituality, okay, to anyone that doesn't follow Yahweh, doesn't follow their God, okay?
Because let me ask a question: Where was the spirituality in these other races before the white man showed up?
They don't have they have spirituality. It's just extremely primitive.
Well, that's
okay? It's extremely primitive, and it's not. But it's not necessarily a false one. It's for them. It's fine. The white race always strives to get to become better. Okay, all the time. They're not looking to be, you know, perfect, but they're trying to be as best as they can. That's the whole point around having civilization. You strive to be as best as possible and to try and build up the civilization. Okay, they have animism and all sorts of other different strange religions in Africa. Okay, that are endemic to their religion, and the blacks have used the Bible as for liberation theology to get stuff. They see Jesus simply as a Santa Claus. That's what he is. Okay, if we like Jesus, we're gonna get stuff. You know, it's a Christian. Oh, okay, you're gonna come over here and you're gonna build me up. You're gonna clean my water and you're gonna do all this other stuff. Cool. That's really really nice of you. You know, I like this Jesus guy. Is he gonna bring me presents, not just at Christmas, but maybe all year long? Oh, cool. I like this guy. And because it's strictly materialistic, there's absolutely no philosophical thought within Black Africa. There's none. There's nothing even compared to the Greeks or the Romans or the Odinists or the Druids in Europe. There's not even close to it. But that doesn't mean they don't have anything. It just means it's really really primitive, extremely materialistic.
Right. Well, we got another caller. Let's see what I believe this is an Ohio number. Area code 614. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, it's Chris. I just wanted to address what Phil was saying. All of our, you know, the New Testament says anybody who preaches a false gospel should be cursed, and that's the curse that we're living under now. This doctrine of universalism and trying to take the bread of the children of Israel to these satanic dogs is the sole cause of everything that we're experiencing now. That's a false version of Christianity. It has absolutely nothing to do with Yahweh, the God of the Bible, or Christ, who came only for the sheep of Israel. And whether you like it or not, certain things are going to continue to be facts. Yahweh is still God. Christ still rose from the dead. The earth is still flat. The space program is still fake. Niggers are still animals. They always will be. They don't even have moral agency, let alone like any sense of spirituality, right? I mean, whatever they have is basically voodoo and interaction with demons, and that's what they've turned Christianity into. They've turned it into a satanic cult.
I agree with that 110%.
The idea that blacks have any form of mortal, I mean, you can't even really blame them, right? I mean, the people that are blamed for this problem are the Jews that are and the Christian Zionists with their false gospel that are orchestrating all of this. I mean, you wouldn't get mad for it, you know, if someone released a pit bull into a playground and it was rabid, and you blame the owner. Right? You don't blame the animal, right? The animal is meant to do what it's supposed to do, and those creatures were created. If you read Ezekiel chapter 5, if you read over and over again in the Old Testament and the New, it talks about, you know, beasts being sent upon us as a judgment for, you know, basically idolatry and whoring around with other gods and forsaking the truth. And the only thing that's going to happen here is Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, where we have this mixed kingdom that's basically overrun with muds, and that ties right into the fourth horse of the apocalypse, when a quarter of the world's population is going to be wiped out by the beasts of the earth. And it's not talking about cats and dogs.
Right, right. Governments, yeah, governments. Mm-hmm. Well,
prophesied thousands of years ago. The only thing that there is to do is get organized and circle the wagons and try to outrun it as long as possible.
Well, our people are going to come through this. Yeah, the country's in trouble and sinking, but our people are going to come through this fire, the ones that truly love the Father.
The remnant.
Yeah, the remnant, the elect, whatever, they're going to come through this, but... Yeah, you're right. We're at the Rubicon. We got to cross it. The white people that have any sense left, any brains at all, any spirituality at all, have to form their wagons and as Phil says, instead of just a decoration above the mantle, you need to put the cartridges in the box, boys. Lock and load that sucker, because we're there. We're at the Rubicon. We're going to cross it here any day now.
I think you're going to
fight or die. That's it. You're going to fight or die.
I think we've already crossed it with Corona. I mean, the elite has played every single card in their hand, right? There's no way that this agenda is stopping, now, right?
No,
I think
there
I
mean, is no going back to the old ways.
As far as I'm concerned, we crossed the Rubicon when that Jew in the White House, you know, declared a state of natural emergency for this, you know, virus hoax on March 13th. We're already on the other side. If the army is not crossing the river yet, they'll be here on the other shore shortly. I mean, we have people. I live in rural Virginia, in the middle of nowhere, in a town of like 800 people, and we have Black Lives Matter protests on our streets.
Right, because the Jews are funding it.
Yeah. I mean, Bank of America alone gave BLM $1 billion.
Well, as I had sent an email, I think to Dan and others, Black Lives Matter is the weed was still, it was there, and the funding of it is just adding more water and fertilizer to the weed. It's sort of like letting the kudzu grow in the South, and it's killing off all the fertile plants in the garden. So and they're funding it. But there was a lot there a long time before Black Lives Matter it came along, and now it's just being put in right in front of you, you know, and the fertilizer's hitting the fan, and we're getting a giant brown stain, if you know what I mean. So
yeah, I mean, my point is just basically that, you know, all of this has been prophesied for a long time, and this is the only way that the world could have ended, right? You know, we can't do too much with the traitors in our own race, who are really the source of the problem, because the Jews can't build anything themselves, right? It's white people that allowed all of this to happen, right? But either those people are going to, you know, have to wake up, or you're going to have to separate yourselves from them. Because I mean, we're at the point where we desperately more than anything else need to start collectively organizing for self-defense.
And I think that's one of the blessings of living in this time, that rather than before, we're realizing that we cannot fight amongst each other in a sense, you know, and you'll know, you know, precisely who's on your side, and if he's pro white, and if he's not pro white, he's not on your side. So Christianity, I think, has been a victim of its own success, because after, you know, when of course Europe became Christianized, all those other countries were all white, and it didn't really much make any difference. But then once you had the colonization, then you had to spread it all around the world. And so now, if there's any kind of discussion about the divine, it has a monopoly on power. And since the laws of nature and common sense that have been created even long before they were written on a piece of paper, have been undermined. And there's no law whatsoever. You have all civilization just collapsing on itself.
Have either of you guys ever looked at Ben Clausen's The White Man's Bible?
I've read a little bit of it. It's pretty interesting. You mean the one that has W with the crown on top?
Yes.
Is that the one? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've read some of it.
Mm-hmm. The Worldwide Church of the Creator, Matt Hale. I interviewed him many years ago. We discussed all the similarities between identity and the World Church of the Creator's teachings. And the thoughts of guys like George Lincoln Rockwell and Ben Clausen. But if you look through, there's also the White Man's Bible and the White Man's Paper, which is a synopsis of their beliefs and tenets. If you guys get a chance, take a good look at that. If you don't have the PDF files for the Bible or the White Man's Paper, let me know and I'll email them to you. They are available. There's also websites online where you can download the PDFs, but I have a copy, several copies actually, so anybody out there that needs them. But you will find some very interesting comments in their Bible that pertain to the things we're talking about today, because Zio-Christianity or Jewish influence Christianity is actually a poison to the white race. Today, as it is taught, it's a poison. The real Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, would not be welcome in any church in America today.
Can I just interject?
That's a fact. Go ahead, Chris. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, with regards to Phil, I know it doesn't sound like you're a Christian or you believe in the resurrection at all, but I just wanted to interject that what's going on in anywhere in history outside of identity has nothing to do with legitimate Christianity. 100% of denominational Christianity is apostate, and it's a form of Satanism. If you're not, the Gospels are clear. If you're not anti-Semitic, you're Antichrist. It's one or the other.
All right.
And that's
all. Okay, never mind.
Go ahead, Phil.
I'm just saying that if you use the Bible for everything, okay. And you put it through the biblical lens on everything, then the Jews are going to have the power. And until you get out of that, they're just going to kill you. I'm just telling you, they're just going to kill you. Because you can use the Bible however you'd like to use it, and it's been done that way all the time. And if you don't use the Bible exclusively, if you just use it for what it is and not be obsessed with every little speck of it. The Jews have no power. They have no power, and they're just wicked people. I mean, they're utterly wicked. And I mean, if your Bible says that usury is bad, but you can do it with other people, what kind of a God is that? If it says that Abraham can pimp out his wife, what kind of God is that?
Well, first of all, Abraham was not a Jew. He was an Israelite. The Jews are descended from Israel.
Okay, Israelites. Okay, go read the book. Go read the book. Okay, the Monsters of Babylon. Okay, the Bible is written by the Jews in order to establish their banking system. That's why you have to pay money to your priest to get to heaven.
That's fundamentally not true. Israelites had blonde hair and blue eyes. Anybody who reads the scriptures can prove that definitively.
Show me a picture
Leviticus
of one.
Leviticus 13:30, blonde hair, Lamentations 4:7, blue
okay.
eyes.
Okay.
Why over and over and over again?
Okay, well, hold on, guys. The point that you're both trying to make, okay, first of all...
But it's not the way that...
History has been adulterated. All history has been adulterated. I don't care what you're talking about. Unless you have a time machine to go back and stand behind the people that are written in any historical document, and that includes the scriptures, you don't know. Nobody here or anywhere else on this earth knows. You don't. That's a fact. You may have a belief, but you don't have facts unless you have a time machine. Now, I don't know anybody that has a time machine. The point that's being made here, and it's a relevant point for any person out there of the white race, we have an enemy who means to destroy us. And if we don't get our shit together, very soon they will succeed in wiping out our family. That's the point that everybody needs to be on base with. Okay? Whether you want to use the King James, if you want to use the Farrar Fenton, if you want to use the Book of Yahweh, I think that Phil's point is that we got Pharisees amongst us. They're Pharisaical white men who want to beat each other up with something from what they call their scriptures, which was given to them by the Catholic Church, by the way. Okay?
Is that what you think I'm doing here?
And what? Hold on a minute. My point, and what Phil is trying to say, is a survival theology, and the fact that we have an enemy, the Jew. The Jew is the enemy of all mankind. That's obvious. That's in front of your face. It's here and now. It's easily provable. The fact that our race is the target, that sort of goes along with some scripture, and the fact that these people mean to destroy us. There is no doubt about that. That is plainly spoken in the open today. So as my buddy from the Special Forces told me, Stephen Barry, many years ago, who wrote The Resistor, why don't we win our country back, and now it's become the world, why don't we win our world back, and after we've defeated our enemies, then we can sit around the fireside and have a debate on theology, which is what you guys are talking about. We don't need arguments right now. What we need is shoulder to shoulder, rifles at hand, and understand that we have an enemy who's going to kill all of us, all three of us. If we don't circle the wagons and train our weapons on the real enemy, we're done. Everything we're talking about here is a divisive thing. And let's go to Proverbs. Anybody who causes discord amongst the brethren is an abhorrence to the Father. All right? That comes out of the Bible. And what we see today is white men beating other white men up over some contentious thing that happened 5,000 years ago.
I'm not trying to beat any.
Well, that's what we end up doing. Sometimes we get so hung up in the details, and that everybody agree with us. We need to do what the scripture says: forgive 70 times 7 to our brothers, not to everybody else, only to our brothers. And we need to focus on the fact that, as Rahoa, Racial Holy War, says in their song, our skin is our uniform for war. That's all we need to know right now, because, Phil, you're probably right. We've already crossed the Rubicon. We're on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not licking the boots on your enemy right now, he's already labeled you for destruction. That's it. Period. They mean to kill us.
The most pertinent issue.
Go ahead.
The most pertinent issue at hand is whether or not you believe in the resurrection of Christ, because that's the single deciding factor whether or not you're going to make it a lot.
Okay.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute, guys. We got other people that want to also add to the conversation. So hold on a second. Software. Okay, Gary, welcome to the program. You had a comment.
Yeah, good morning, Pastor. I was sitting here listening to the whole thing. Now, the fellow that appears to be an atheist.
I'm not an atheist, okay? I never said I was an atheist, sir. Never.
Hold on.
In fact, I'm far more spiritual than you ever will be.
Hold on a minute.
I'm far more believer in the divine than you ever will be, sir. I don't believe in a goddamn book. I believe in my people, and nothing else matters to me. The reason why they're destroying all these images is because, as Wagner said, the purpose of art is to make the spiritual manifest and visual.
For your defense, you're over-talking me because you didn't hear what I said. I said appears. Okay, I did not say that you were. I said appearance. Some of the things, you know, I agree with a lot of what you said, but then at the end there, you're sort of saying, you're sort of putting a Christian down, appears to be putting a Christian down. Now, I do read the scriptures, and that's where I get everything that I know. Okay, now, it's always the white man. That's true. I read other material, you know, I listen to what they say, and there's a lot of fact, and there's a ton of facts in what you're saying. And it's, you know, it's the Caucasians are the ones that brought out Christianity. No other peoples other than the Caucasians have done that worldwide.
The Jew bankers used the Caucasians to promote their book in order for them to have even more power and more control. Okay, that it's why they manipulated Rome and everything else, and that's why Europe has never been the same since.
It says in the scriptures in 1 John, I know the pastor knows it, 1 John, those who do not believe that Christ came in the flesh are the Antichrist. That's the enemy, the Antichrist. And you're saying the Antichrist does these things. Of course he does. What's new? He's supposed to do that. He's the enemy.
Hold on. One at a time. One at a time. All right.
See, so if he's the enemy, he's out to destroy us. He's called in the scriptures a deceiver, an awesome deceiver at that. So he's going to come up to you and tell you one thing and actually mean something else. Now, we sit down, Bill Gates, we're hearing a lot about Bill Gates. He's one of the richest men in the world. He's also Jewish. Okay, so, and he's also the one that's sort of leading this thing that's going on today where everybody gets to go in their house and lock it up, and if you go outside, you got this mask on. Now, that's deception.
Okay.
So why do I have to do that?
Yeah, hold on. We got another caller, so everybody gets their time here. Hold on a second. My software is... Okay, now, Eric Code 816, welcome to the program.
Yeah, this is Vince. I was going to make a comment, but I think I'm just going to stay out of it, actually. You can go ahead and mute me.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't want to get in on the argument.
All right. Well, everybody's entitled to their say, so if you want to get it off your chest, that's what brothers do, okay? This is what men do. We don't always agree.
I realize that. I know that, you know, people are getting pretty emotional. I don't want to upset anybody, though. It's not worth it. So I'll call back in. But thanks anyway.
Okay, very good. Thanks a lot, buddy. Yahweh bless. I there's an old saying, iron sharpens iron, okay? And I know everybody that calls into this program, I know personally, okay? I don't associate with atheists. I don't associate with pagans as far as those who get into the cultish shit, okay? I don't associate with that. So everybody that's here is a brother and a friend, and I want everybody here to respect each other's opinions, whether they differ or not. Iron sharpens iron. Every man that comes to this forum is a man of iron, as far as I'm concerned. They are a man of conviction. They study constantly. They try to improve themselves constantly. They try to seek out the truth wherever they can find it. And most of them are very passionate. And one of the problems with passionate individuals, and I'm one of them, is we tend to walk on people at times. I've had that. I've been called out on that many times. Dan, you need to slow down and stop dumping all that stuff on my head. I can only absorb a little bit at a time. Okay? But our passions are good in that they drive us, but it can be a weapon used against us if we allow the passions to cause a discord in the fellowship, okay? Because I agree with all of you. We're at a a point in history we've never been at, all right? Never have we been at this point in the history of this earth, as far as we know. And our race is the target. And of our race, our men are the target of our race, because once the men are subdued, the women and children don't stand a chance. All right? So we men have to learn how to overcome our differences, put all of our thoughts together in a workable plan, or we're done. That's the bottom line right now. We have to decide who our leaders are, just as they did in the days of Phineas. We have to decide, days of Moses, all the rest of them, doesn't matter. You have to decide who your leaders are. Who are the ones anointed, okay? That's pretty obvious. Some people have an anointing, some don't. You better figure out who the anointing sets on. You better get behind those individuals, and you better be ready to fight. That's all I know. Because if we don't, there is no tomorrow. There'll be no more debates once the communist Jews take over. There'll be no more debates because you and I will be dead.
It's not a debate. I wasn't trying to start a debate. It's a mission of love. Without believing in the resurrection, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's just a fact.
Okay. I do not believe that. I believe that the divine is within creation. It is not outside of it. And I defend the white race wherever he is, whether he is a Christian or not. I do not defend the white race when they are betraying them. You can't have an antichrist without Christ, and you can't have, okay, if you have neither, there's no antichrist.
And so do I. I'm not trying to pick a fight here. You know, my neighbors have been nothing but hostile to us since the day that we moved in. But I would, you know, we have Antifa rioting, you know, burning their house to the ground tomorrow, I'm still going to stand and defend them. I'm trying to defend you right now.
I appreciate it very much. And we need more people like you. And I want to thank you for that. Okay. That's one of the reasons why I'm on this show, because I admire Dan tremendously, even though I don't agree with him on everything. There's a lot of things that I do disagree with him on, okay? But I do admire his compassion for his people, and that trumps. He's, you know, there's a lot of spirit in this on his show, and that's something that's hard to find these days.
Hold on a minute, one at a time. Chris first, then Gary.
So, Phil, if I told you that I could prove with 100% mathematical certainty that Christ rose from the dead and it was very simple arithmetic, would that be something that you're interested in? I mean, it would probably take 2 to 3 hours to do it.
Simple arithmetic?
Simple arithmetic, yeah, basic gematria.
Sure, you can send it to me.
So, yeah, well, maybe we should have a phone conversation at some point.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Gary?
Yes, I see. The one thing is the brother. He said a lot of things that were great, you know, when it came to the black and white race, you know, because I run into this all the time, and he was just coming up with some stuff that's awesome. Now, the one thing that we have going, it started by Abraham, and what Abraham started was a family: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's a family. Okay, Christ came through that family and is of that family and is the king of that family. Okay, he's also God. You know, some people don't believe in that. That puts him in another realm, but he is the king of our family. And as a family member, I recognize him as my king. I recognize Pastor Dan is a pastor of this king. He is in the, you know, things that I don't know, then you go to this particular pastor to find something out. And he's anointed by this king of this family. Now, there's other people out there of different families other than this family. They're going to disagree with what we have to say, and we argue with each other because families, you find out today that my family will disagree with that family and we're related. So here we have, from what I can see, is family members disagreeing with each other. And there's nothing wrong with that because, as the pastor says, steel sharpens steel. I used to be a chef, so I know what a steel does and what you do, how you sharpen your knife. And it just amazes me how we sit here and argue and forget who we are. You know, we are members of that family. And that's who we are, and all brothers, and I love every one of you.
Well, the one of the listeners just sent it in. Angel just sent one in, and she goes, it's late in the game to be arguing doctrine. And that's what my special forces friend was trying to impress upon me. Like I said, every brother that has come to this program, I have affinity for, and I like to think anyway, I'd lay my life down for them. Okay, that does not mean we agree on every issue. My own blood brother that I know I would lay my life down for, and I work diligently for him in many regards, he and I do not agree on many things. We have had many heated arguments. We've hung up the phone on each other several times. Okay, so the point of it is, and that's where the focus right now is, I'm trying to say it's now or never, is we can disagree on points of theology. We don't have to agree on all of them. But what we do have to agree on is what we see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears, and we know in the present, not what happened thousands of years ago or what's going to happen in the centuries in front of us. Because again, if we lose this battle, there is no future for our people. None. So winning the argument, what did it gain us? The only thing I need to know is where are the white people that understand what it means to be a white man or white woman? Who recognizes the Creator by whatever name you want to call him? Who recognizes the divine spirit within the white race? I mean, if you deny that, you're an idiot. That the fact that the white race is different than every other race, I mean, you're just a plain frickin' idiot. You haven't studied, you don't know a damn thing. What I want to know is how many will lock and load their carbine rifles and stand on the battlefield with me when the time comes, because it's not far away. How many will fight for their families and their loved ones? Not with words. We've fought the battle with words, and we've lost, because the enemy owns the electronic toilets. And they've got all the orcs. They've got all the low IQ morons of this world, including those of the white race.
Thank you. They've got
them all lined up against us. All right? They're all lined up against us. To me, we are in Revelation 18, which I have sitting right here in front of me. We are in her right now. And our Father is telling us to separate ourselves from the orcs, whether they're white orcs, mm-hmm. brown orcs, yellow orcs, or Jewish orcs. They're all orcs. Okay? This is the sign to separate yourself from them.
Mm-hmm.
That comes right out of Revelation 18. So I can talk in both worlds, whether it's a group with Phil's way of thinking, or Gary's, or Chris's. It doesn't matter. All right? Because I have mm-hmm. the Spirit of the Father resting upon me, and I've had it since I was a boy. I know where we're at. I know what the war is in front of us. I've been shown it. I've been talking about this for decades. And we're there. That's my point, folks. The debates are over. You're at the Rubicon or halfway across it, and some of you are on the other side of it. You have to know that the enemy's in front of you, and there is no going back. That's what the Rubicon represents. There is no going back to the world we knew 4 or 5 months ago. It's gone. The enemy has made it plain and clear. We are going into a full-blown communist world, or you're going to fight to bring it down and establish a kingdom under Yahweh's law, period. That's it. That's it. It's as simple as I can say it. And we can have debates. I love debate, especially with guys like you with passion and brains that actually still function. There's so few around, it's hard to believe. Okay? I love debate, but I also demand respect. I also demand that we get along as brothers. Because when the bugle sounds, the debates are over. You pick up your carbine and you fight the enemy. All that animosity, all that passion now gets turned on my enemy. I hate my enemies with a perfect hatred, just like King David. Okay, this idea that I can't hate somebody, bullshit. I hate them. I hate my enemies. And some of the enemies are of my own house. Some of my enemies are of my own race. Some of my enemies are of my same country as me. But they're my enemies. I hate them with a perfect hatred. When the day comes, they get a bullet like everybody else. Yahweh has said so in the scriptures. Whether you read them correctly or not, your problem. Because it's a fact of life. Tolerance is how you die. Intolerance is how you survive. Diversity is a death knell. Homogeneous societies survive. That's a historical fact. I don't need a Bible to prove that. And Phil makes a good point here that we've talked about on this program for a long time. How long has the Bible been around? A couple hundred years. That's it. What did our people do before the Bible? Were they all condemned to hell? Are they all burning in the lake of fire, so to speak? Because there were no Bibles. Nobody knew what Paul said. Nobody knew what Matthew said. Nobody had access to any of the Greek manuscripts. So they're all dead? No. We had common sense. We had a spiritual connection. We understood who our family is. We had a family connection. And that's what we've lost. I can't tell you how many white people that absolutely make me want to throw up. They don't know who the hell they are. They don't even care anymore. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think I'm pissed off, what do you think the Creator feels right now? The person who created this world, who put the different people here, and who put his peculiar people here. That's what the ancients called us in the Greek language, by the way, long before scriptures ever showed up. Keltoi, the peculiar people. It's where we get the word Celt. So that's been known long before a Bible ever showed up. We are peculiar people. We have creativity in our souls. We seek for a better world. We are the loving, caring, sharing people until you piss us off. You piss us off now, we take all of that energy, all of that creativity, and we focus it on our enemy. And that's my point today. It's time to focus all of this great energy, passion, knowledge, and focus it on our goddamn enemy and not each other. Over.
When the time comes to fight, Phil, believe me, I'll be right there beside you. It takes every ounce of self-restraint I have every day not to get a chain-fed machine gun and start gunning monkeys down in whatever major city I happen to stumble across.
Well, you know, as I was trying to allude to when we were having a heated discussion, Wagner, the great German composer, said that the purpose of art is to make the spiritual material and manifest. And when they're destroying these statues of overwhelmingly white individuals, okay, they are practicing iconoclasm, which was done by the churches since the beginning, and because you're not supposed to have any graven image. And so if you remove that, you could say on a piece of paper that they're white. Well, do they have a big nose? Are they, you know, Asians look kind of white too. But if you see an image of something like a statue of or a bust of say Plato or Aristotle or Cicero or someone else, you know that person is a white European. You don't have to read any doctrine. And I didn't want to bring up any doctrine in this discussion. The only thing that matters to me, like Dan says, is our race. What we're seeing is European Rome is being attacked by the enemies of Europe, okay? And they're doing it in any way possible. So so this is why they're bringing in the third worlders, and they're not allowing the whites to defend themselves. And we need to defend ourselves, and to hell with the critics. I don't give a damn what anybody says to me. If some if some Antifa bastard comes into my neighborhood or your neighborhood, okay, you damn well better start shooting back. And I'm going to defend you to my last breath, and unapologetically as well, okay. And while I don't like to use doctrine because it's I like to see the world as it is, okay. I defend my race even when they make mistakes, okay. And I want to stand by the St. Louis statue in St. Louis. Okay, and he's a Christian, okay, but he defended his race, and he defended his race against Islam, okay. They want to change the city of St. Louis's name because he was Islamophobic, and Islamophobic is, Islam is a Middle Eastern religion, okay, and of course it's corrupt, it's corrupted incredibly, but it has its sources that are Middle Eastern, and they're not European in any way, so... and that's why I'm here. I see the world as it is, and I read an awful lot, and I probably read too much. And we really are at a crossroads, and we need to stand by each other. And I'm with you all. Okay, all my white brothers who are fighting for my white race.
So I mean, in your mind, I guess what steps do you see that we can take to start getting organized? Because I feel we're completely surrounded, and there are probably a lot of people out there that have a bit of indecision on what they can do or what they should do.
Well, I think we should gather. I think we should try and organize some sort of gathering. You know, and I'm not talking about building an ark. To me that's running away from the problem, and I don't want to be a coward. I would be ashamed of myself, and I don't care about what Yahweh says. I care about my ancestors saying, what kind of an idiot were you? Did you stand up for us? No, you didn't. This is one of the reasons why our children people are not having children, because they have not established any kind of pride in themselves. This is why, women abuse themselves. This is why they're not being taught to have children. And this is why men are doing exactly the same thing. Because history, when it's taken away from you, you're nothing. You're no different than the black, because the black has, he has no images. There's no art of anything. And I think we need to gather together and not use social media to be unsocial. And I want to shake your hand and share a nice European beer or an American beer that's made by a white man, and not have any Negroes or racial aliens anywhere near our people. I saw a sheriff talking to a bunch of guys, and said, to hell with these invaders. And every single one of them that I saw on that video, every one of them were white European people. So there was nothing even close to anything that was not. It might as well have been Sweden 200 years ago. So I was like, that's what we need. So I'm really scared about where I'm at. I'm here in Florida and not far from Dan, a few hours from Dan, and it's getting ugly here. It really is. The difference between, as one of my friends says, the difference between the blacks and the whites is the blacks riot and the white man hunts. So, and that's what we need to do.
Do you think the urban areas can be salvaged, or
what?
Do you think the urban areas in general can be salvaged, or are they a lost cause?
I think they're a lost cause. And here's another thing I want to point out. The number one reason why, and this is one of the interesting things I've learned about when I've been studying about the population decrease of the white race, is that it's the number one reason of population decline is urbanization. That is by far the biggest reason why populations are declining among the whites, because they're urbanized. Okay, and when you're in an urban setting, you don't need to have children. Even in the ancient Roman times, the typical Roman would only have three or four children. Okay, he wouldn't have a lot because he didn't need them, and that's how it is. When you're out in the country, you need them. And then out in the countryside, you know, in Italy, they'd have 7, 8, 10 kids. And because the whites are in the urban areas and they got these nice jobs and they're driving to town every, you know, every Monday morning, that's what they're doing. And this whole thing with the blacks is to help make the whites save themselves. It forces them to go out in the countryside. It forces them to flee for their life. Okay. Similar to the way the Germans were had to flee the Jews in Poland who were slaughtering them. They had to flee for their life, and so they went into Germany and they ended up living in the rural areas. And this is essentially what we're going to have to do because the cities are being overrun by these aliens who are destroying our society. I don't think urbanization is the issue. I think that's our problem. And we need to get out, and we need to get closer to nature. That's one of the things that's one of the reasons why I believe what I do is because I believe that nature was created in a divine way, and we know how to handle it better than anybody else. We're the best farmers. We care about the land. We care about the environment. No one else does that, and we need to get away from it. And this way, our people will get back to our roots. And we won't be, and not only that, we'll get away from the damn media. You know, I won't have to worry about the TV or the temptation of having it or video games and stuff, and we can get down to what really matters.
The only real blessing that I've really seen this year from this whole corona hoax is that it's allowing more people to flee into rural areas and be able to work remotely.
No, I agree with that.
I do that anyway, but... In my mind, I think the primary reason we're losing the battle is because we don't have institutions. You know, we're facing these multi-trillion-dollar corporations like Amazon and Apple,
mm-hmm.
right, that have these absolute juggernauts, right? And, mm-hmm. and we're facing these massive armored divisions, and we don't ever build any kind of economic engine that can counteract that, right? Something mm-hmm. that's self-sustainable, that's profitable, that has a mission, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, and this media and stuff is a self-perpetuating thing. They see this as a game. Whenever you see a reporter go out to a war, oh look at this, oh my goodness, you know. And I remember when we bombed Iraq, they treated it like a video game, like it was nothing, and you're never going to get that from this media because it's all sensationalism, you know. Anything as perverse as possible, you know. If you want your transgender stories or your, you know, or anything else, and it's destroying itself. I mean, it's people don't want to go to that stuff, and once they are ashamed of it, we need to reestablish shame. That's what we need to do. We need to be willing to shame people into doing for their wickedness, and we don't do that, you know. We that's what we really need to get back to, you know. If you're an utterly perverse individual,
that's the weapon they're using against you, right? I mean, in a false sense, mm-hmm. by, you know, calling you a racist if you don't agree with, you know, that all-out Stalinism. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
We
need to recover a sense of, you know, moral righteousness and the moral
mm-hmm.
high ground.
Well, you know,
when you talk about shame, that's interesting because you see these beautiful blue-eyed blondes with this black thing because he's a football player. You know, where's her shame? She has none. You know, I mean,
no.
What she's doing is destroying her race, because she's certainly not going to have a blonde child that looks like her.
She's
beautiful. She's gone.
You know, that's right. But one of the problems is that she's not necessarily having a child. She may be having sex with the guy, okay, because he's rich. But as soon as he's broke, she's gone. And she's not necessarily going to have a child because, you know, there's such a thing as birth control, okay? And not only that, she's... You know, and the other thing is that even if she does have a child, she doesn't need the black, okay? Because she'll have the state to take care of them. And
well, the problem with that is it's you and me that's got to take care of that child because
yep.
she's mm-hmm. sort of worthless now, and that child mm-hmm. is worthless. And they say, oh, and then another thing that gets me is when they talk about the poor, they automatically zoom in on the blacks. You know,
yep.
I mean, I'm sitting here making less money than that black on welfare, and they don't call me poor. They say I'm a middle class and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's media that's doing this. The media is doing programming to us. We never had these until we had the TV.
Pastor Dan
calls them the toilet bowl.
And all these branches come from the same tree with one root, and that root is right back down into Talmudic Judaism, the enemy of all mankind. Okay, that's a fact. I don't need a Bible to know that. All I got to do is look at the facts. And here's a good point. Now, Phil brings up a point about, and I know lots of people like this, they got their heads stuck up their ass with Scripture. There's lots of people like that, okay? All right, so if we got our brothers out there and sisters who don't want to use the Scriptures, they think they're Jewish, whatever, I can find lots of proofs of everything Phil talked about in Scripture. But like you said, if I wanted to disprove them, I could find things too. Okay, well, let's set that off to the side then for these particular individuals. And let's grab The White Man's Bible by Ben Clausen and go look at John Mark's website on propertarianism. Let's see if we can find some common ground between the Worldwide Church of the Creator and the White Man's Bible and John Mark and Kurt Doolittle with their propertarianism, because that's here and now. That's here and now. Has nothing to do with history. Has nothing to do with theories. Let's see if we can find some common ground between those two items, the White Man's Bible and propertarianism, for the folks that have a issue with the thing we call the Biblos or the Bible, okay? Because there's lots of people like that. I know lots of Caucasians who don't particularly care for the Bible because of either the influence by the Jews or the Zio-Christians, whatever. Okay, fine. Now let's go to what Ben Clausen wrote and what John Mark and Kurt Doolittle have come with in the area of politics and how to govern, because they go hand in hand and they are racially conscious. Let's get some common ground and something that's here and now then. And we'll put off this debate for after the war. The war's here, guys. That's the point I want everybody listening to understand. This is no longer theory. This is no longer, hey, if we don't get our asses in gear and get prepared in a decade or two decades, you're going to have... No. It's here. Guess what, guys? It's here. They're knocking at the door. They've got their guns loaded. They've got their bayonets fixed. They've got their execution chambers already prepared for you, me, and our loved ones. That's a fact. That's not theory.
Well, they say that one-third of us will make it through. So that means there's two-thirds out there that are going to get killed. Now, the one thing that you were talking that came to my mind is the difference between the Caucasians and the Negroids. The Negroids, they admire us driving our cars, and that's what they go after when they become us. But on their own, you'd think they would be riding horses. No, because they eat the horses, so they don't get to ride them. And this is what they do to everything. They just come in and eat it all up, even though they could, but they won't. The only ones that ever make a nation for these people is your Caucasians. Your Caucasians are nation builders, and the other races are the ones that tear it down. China, look at it. It's where we've come in there is where they're strong. But where they are left on their own, they're not too strong. And they're very hungry. They're starving. I see this thing on TV, you know, where the Jewish people are this. They're starving to death. Send us your money. You know, I'm going, these guys are really deceptive because they already have money. I mean, you take the richest, most wealthiest person in the world, he's Jewish every time.
Because time, we're at or across the Rubicon, so I got a suggestion for our men, because it's the men who are the warriors. Ladies, it's not that you're not important, but I'm focusing on the men because that's who I expect to fight with me. you ladies are in the background, okay? We have to come together and decide on courses of action. And one of the things we need to do is we do not need to demonize other races to promote our own. I don't give a damn about the other ones. They can take care of themselves. They've been around for multiple millennia, and they'll probably still be here for millennia afterwards. What we need to focus on is our own family. I don't give a damn about theirs. They don't give a damn about mine. The point of it is we need to focus on our people and get our attention back on our people and what we have accomplished, what our goals are, what our mission is here. And I can even go to the Bible for this. So you guys, well, Dan, you got to stay in the Bible. Well, I can show you Bible verses that support everything I just said. All right? We can play that game. Or we can go over to Ben Clausen's White Man's Bible. I don't care. We can play that game if you want. The point is still the same. We are a peculiar people in a good way. Peculiar people always have been. We have an enemy trying to diminish us and to get us to hate our own kind. That goes against nature, and it goes against the God of nature. Whatever name you want to call him, whatever scripture you want to go by, or just go by your gut feeling. I don't give a damn. Because he even says, I wrote my laws on your heart. I don't need a book. I don't need a book to know I have a right to defend myself. I don't need a book that says my children have a right to live. I don't need a book that says I have an enemy coming after me and I have a right to shoot his ass down. You don't need a book for that. So let's focus on what we do agree on. And that's a fact that we are on the precipice, by whatever name you want to call it. And we'd better organize for defense right now. Now, I would postulate, because I do believe in Scripture, if it's correctly translated and put into the proper context, that the Father is going to thin out our ranks. Now, that doesn't have to be scriptural. That's also military good sense. The story of Gideon, etc. If you've got cowards amongst your race, if you've got self-hating whites, if you've got cucks, if you've got transgender, if you've got homosexuals, I don't want them in my army. I'm not going to fight for them. And I've said that for many years. All you women out there that think race mixing's fine, then stay with them. I am not going to lift a finger to defend you. For all you feminists out there that believe in putting the white man down, like my Navy buddy just called me the other day. He was talking to a 30-some-year-old, and he's a 50. And halfway into the conversation, they got talking about politics. And the next thing she says is, do you got a white hat in your closet? He hung up the phone on her. All right? They've turned us against each other. I'm not going to fight for the white women who relish in the demise of the white man. I don't want them to survive. If Father wants to thin this herd out, I'm all for it, because the strong survive. If you don't love the white race, then go to hell. If you don't want to fight for the white race, go to hell. And hell can be whatever you want to picture it to be, eternal fire or becoming worm bait in the dirt. It doesn't matter. The Greek word is the place where the dead were buried, Hades, the pit, Gehenna. That's what hell is. It's where you go when you're no longer useful. It's where you go when the Father says, whoops, I made a mistake with this one. That's common sense. That's logic. That's rational thinking. Because just look at your earthly family and the way it works. Who does the father of 12 children, back in the day, as Phil would say, I grew up in Hill Country. Many of our family, in fact, my grandfather on my mother's side had nine children because he was a farmer. We had lots of children. Who does the father honor? The father honors the children who do what? Work hard and obey him. That's real life. I lived it. I grew up in it. It works. Does he honor those that go against his wishes? No. In fact, if it gets bad enough, he does what? He sends them away. You cannot have a harmonious household and contention at the same time. Don't need a Bible to prove that one. So if you're contentious, ladies or men, I don't want you in my foxhole. I don't want you in my army. Because we're going to win this war. But we're only going to win it with the best of our men. The rest of you can go to hell. And for the ladies, go to hell. If you don't want to support us, go to hell. Whatever you want that to be. It means stay away from me. I don't want the lightning bolts to come down from the heavens and hit me when they come down for you. Whatever form it takes. Okay? I'm not saying that literally. Whatever the punishment, whatever the plagues, whatever you get when you disobey the laws of God and God's nature, which is exactly what the white race is doing. We have flouted every frickin' rule of nature that's out there. We don't have enough sense to know that you don't race mix. That's how stupid we've become. Everywhere in nature, it supports it. Everywhere in nature, it supports it. And you're sitting there telling me, well, Dad, God just loves everybody, and Jesus just loves all the little children, Dad. Oh, really? The God that created all the laws of thermodynamics, all the laws of eugenics, is all of a sudden going to turn it on its head because of this guy you call Christ. Really? How's that work? It doesn't work. That's what I said. Messiah could resurrect today right here before us, and he would not be welcome in any white family's home or in any white church.
Amen.
It's like Caldwell, Miss Caldwell. Taylor Caldwell said, mankind adores its traitors and murders its saviors. That's the irony of mankind. We're dumber than rocks. The animal kingdom has more sense than man has. We adore our traitors, and we murder our saviors. Because our heads are up our asses, and we don't want to admit we were wrong, ever.
It's called rectal
There's no cranial. Humility in the white race. No humility anymore. None. Everybody wants to be a chief. Everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants to be the scholar. We forgot how to be brothers. That's where it starts, brotherhood. Do you think every family, everybody's equal within the family? You think all the boys are the same strength level or intelligence level or spiritual level?
No.
I grew up in a farm, like I said, large families. Every one of them children is individual. Every one of them is different. But the one thing they got in common, they belong to the same family. When it comes time for family reunions or there's trouble or somebody's hurt or a house gets burned down, they come together. And that's what we've forgotten. How to be humble and to remember that we're part of a family first. That's what enemy has crept in and caused us to think otherwise. Go ahead, Gary.
If when this Antifa was going on, they had it on television. You could sit it even in your computer. You sit and watch it. And there was tons of people sitting in their houses because they were told to stay there in their house watching these white people destroy and other people's property. Some people were sitting there in their house watching their business being burnt to the ground by a Caucasian. Everybody says, well, it was all blacks. They watch it. There's a whole bunch of whites in there that have turned on their people.
Wait a minute. Let's not get the story distorted. A lot of those people you're calling white are Jews.
Well, that's true.
All right. When they caught that girl setting on fire that police car, her last name was Blumenthal. Last time I checked, that's not Irish, okay? So a lot of these protesters, a lot of these organizers, a lot of these misfit assholes that are leading this stuff aren't white. And we need to stop promoting that because most of them are either atheistic, non-white whites, people ashamed to be white and their brains don't function, but a lot of them are Jews.
Well, see, what's happened is my son, who believes in the scriptures all the way except for Jesus Christ, okay, he has a problem on that, but he sat there and he watched that and he says, Gary, you know, you're sitting there blaming the blacks for everything. He says, did you see all the whites in there? Now, he doesn't make a distinction as you did. Some are Jews, and if you don't know who the Jews are, you're in trouble, you know, because now he's taking those and thinking that those are us. And what you're straightening out right now, which I really appreciate, is those are not us.
They're not
those
us.
Those are the enemy. Those and there will destroy us.
Well, if they're not Jews, they've been Judaized.
Yeah, exactly. They're Judaized. They could be white traitors. You know.
Right, they're proselytes. Let me give you a little clue here. Okay.
Either way, they're still Jews. Intellectually, they're Jews.
Intellectually,
yes,
right.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. A race mixer is a Jew by heart.
Absolutely.
A lot of these whites that go along with this stuff are mixed. All right? Now, why am I making this a point? Because if you read Charles Weissman's book, Anthology of Racial Issues, he's got the scientific studies that were done long time ago to prove that race-mixed individuals tend to be schizophrenic, paranoid, and prone to violence. So, do you think pure-blooded whites are a part of these crowds? I doubt it very seriously. I doubt very seriously any of these people that appear to be white are actually white. I'll bet you they're either Jews or they're race-mixed. They've got some other DNA operating in there, which is screwing up their brains, just like these scientists that put these reports said. Okay, you violate the laws of God and God's nature, the Bible calls it a plague. What kind of plague do you think it's talking about? You're living it. The plague, when you've got so many race mixed individuals, all they want to do is riot, burn, and do anything that the Jew will have them to do for money, because people of integrity don't do that. You could offer me $6 million and I would not set fire to another man's house or his business. You could give me $60 million. I still wouldn't do it. That's what white people do.
Pastor,
they have integrity. Money does not matter to a real white man. It does not matter. Principle matters. Honor matters. Integrity matters. Your goddamn Jewish money doesn't matter. And if it does matter, you're not a white man. You're either
Pastor,
mixed or you're a proselyte of the Jew, but you're not a white man.
Pastor, well, to me, I mean, money has always been a weapon. I mean, but as long as, like, we can't create something that's self-sustaining, every time we walk into a grocery store, every time we buy a product, we're probably going to be funding the enemy. And army
yeah,
marches
because
on its stomach. So we have
our
to win
father's trying to get us to work together to come out of that system. And up till now, Chris, you know well, as damn well as much as I know, our people aren't willing to support it. We got lots of people who want to form communities and businesses that come out of this system. Our people don't want to get off their ass and support it. Gary, you had a point.
Well,
Gary, go ahead.
Become a Christian, as they call it, in a Judeo-Christian church. And at that time, you know, that's what I call it. What are you? I'm a Judeo-Christian. Till I found out who the Jews are. And then I said, why am I calling myself a Jew and a Christian at the same time? That's an oxymoron. You can't be that and a Christian. So now I know a lot of people out there that think the Jews are God's chosen people, because that's what the church teaches, and they call themselves that. And I say, you got to come out of that. I was talking to somebody the other day. I says, you're nuts. You got to come out of that. How can you be that? I said, who killed Christ? I says, you want to claim them as God's chosen people, and you want to put their name on you? I says, that's ludicrous. I says, you can be a Christian, but you can't be a Jew. You're one or the other. And what you're doing is you're claiming an oxymoron. It can't be. You can't be both at the same time. They're trying to honor these clowns that want to destroy you, I told them. So if we were to sit and look at this, that's part of our problem, is they come into the church and have us or myself using their name, you know, and glorifying their name and glorifying them, like I told you about the poor little old ladies that they show on TV and they need your money, you know, yet they got all kinds of money, and they got all kinds of money that they're doing to influence the churches. I mean, this is really some sick stuff. Now, when you think about it for a minute,
the main thing that people need to understand is communism is centralization. Anything that's centralized is of communism, whether it's churches, schools, medicine, government, media, you name it. If it's centralized, or a corporation, which is just another way of centralization of business, anything that centralizes is of Satan, is of the adversary, is of the Jew. Period.
Pastor,
it's anti-white. It's anti-white. White people don't operate that way. We believe in local government, self-regulation, small government, etc. We don't believe in centralization. Centralization's of the devil or your adversary.
Well, you know, Pastor, when I was young, it's hard to believe, but I was young at one time, a long time ago, back in the 50s. You know, I was in junior high school, and my family had me move to San Diego, city of San Diego, for a while. Okay, so I went to one of the city schools versus it prior to that, I was going to a county school. And the county schools are, like you said, they're supported by their community. But the city school, of course, is supported by the city. And they were teaching me, I'll never forget this, they had this teacher, and she said that actually governments, what you guys say is that you don't like the communist government, they're the same as ours, they're just a government. They're the same thing. And they were teaching communism is okay in this city school. And, of course, I sat in a class that had Mexicans, blacks, everything in it. Now, over when I was going to the school in the county, because it was country, it was all white. It was different. They taught Christ. They taught George Washington. They taught everything that we're supposed to be taught. But when I went to the city school, I couldn't wait to get out of there. I said, this is terrible. I just felt bad. It's like the brother that said, you know, about your feelings. You don't have to have the Bible to know that something's wrong. God has put that conscience in our hearts. How can you know my people to preach to? Who are they? You can tell my people by their fruits. That was what Christ said when they were asking him, who shall we go to? Because they all seem to appear to be, they're people. Can we go preach to the black man? No, you can tell my people by their fruits. That black man is not going to be honest, but the white guy most likely will be. So these are the things that I grew up with, and I could understand. You know, I knew it was wrong to steal. I did it, but didn't make it right. You know, I knew that it was wrong. And yep. to do some of the things that I've done, I know they were wrong. I could go to the bar, get drunk, and do things that you're not supposed to do because
yep.
I was under the influence of alcohol, but still wrong. Does it make it right? And I knew that. I knew that at the time, that it was not right. And I've had to pay a price for doing all this stuff. You know, God
yep,
says,
absolutely,
you will pay.
Absolutely.
And he's not kidding. You will pay the price. And it doesn't mean, well, down the road when I die, I go to the throne, and he'll make me go here, and it's nothing. No, it happens now. It happens when you don't expect it, and then all of a sudden you see it. And it's, you know, these guys that believe that everybody's the same and we're all equal, they're nuts. They're absolutely nuts. We aren't the same. We're not all equal. I mean, God made it so obvious to us. It's obvious to the most casual observer walking by. You take a black guy, and then you take this blue-eyed, blonde, white guy, and you say, oh, they're the same and they're equal. No, the black guy can run and jump. And the white guy can't do anything, but he can think, and he knows the way from that perspective. There is a difference between, besides the obvious to your eyes, the physical appearances are totally different. White guys don't have kinky hair. White guys don't have a smashed-in big nose. White guys don't have, you know, big lips. White guys don't have black skin. You know, the litany is long.
We've said it for years. If you want to find out why the races are different, all you got to do is go back in time before perfume and cologne was invented, and the scents of each race would keep each other apart. All right? That's just a fact. Go around people that don't have a ton of perfume or cologne on and tell me you can't tell that these different races smell different than each other and different than you do. Sure they do. That's part of the way our Father created each one to stay within their own kind, because there's an offensive odor to the other race.
Pastor, I used to be a fighter.
The Jew invented cologne and perfume. The Antichrist, whatever you want to call it, the enemy of common sense, the enemy of nature, the enemy of the white man, whatever you want to call it, I don't give a damn. The point of it is, modern technology has allowed all of this nonsense to go on. It's an aberration of nature. All of it is.
Well, you know, Pastor,
the way we're living today is 100% an aberration, including the institution of marriage, which is completely stupid. The idea of circumcising a male child, completely barbaric and stupid. All of it.
I used to be a fighter. Now, I know that's stupid, too, but I was one. And I had to fight a lot of black guys. And he even sparred a lot of black guys. And you get close to each other, they stink. I mean, they flat stink. You know, I wouldn't come out of the ring and say, gosh, that guy stinks. You just know that they stink. You spar white guys, and they don't stink like that. There is a difference in the odor.
It's obvious. It's obvious. My son was a heavyweight wrestler in high school. He told me one time after I told him this philosophy I'm talking about here, he had to wrestle another heavyweight, was a black guy. He said about 2 minutes into the match, when both of them started sweating like hogs, he said, I almost threw up. He said, it was everything I could do to stop from throwing up. I said, well, that's a natural law. Okay. You're different races. You don't belong together. You don't smell the same. You don't behave the same. Your skin is different, especially the black man. His hair is different. Okay? Everything about us is different, and yet they want to say that we're the same. It's all bullshit. You have to ignore logic. You have to ignore nature and even common sense. And now you have to ignore the sense of smell. Okay? So everything is upside down. Everything is upside down, period.
How is it that they were able to do that? I mean, you talk about brainwashing. This is, I mean, if I go outside and I say what you just said about the black man, I'm going to be called every name in the book. Wait a minute. Are you guys stupid? Can't you see facts? No. They ripped the facts out of our minds, and they put this horse shit in there. Excuse my English. But that's what happens. And you sit there and you go, wait a minute. You guys, there's something wrong here. Can't you see? They're blind.
It's because white men have taken a backseat to their women, to their children, and to the other races in society as a whole. Okay, the very guys who are supposed to be in charge have acquiesced and allowed everybody else to have a stadium and a platform to speak. White men, back even in my childhood, white men didn't take shit from anybody. All right, if you would have handed a white man in the 1950s any of this racial shit that we deal with today, they would have laughed at you and driven you out of the room.
Oh,
they would
have
called it what it was, stupid. They would have said, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. All right,
Pastor,
that transgenders can teach children in kindergarten, they would have had pitchforks and rifles. All right, so this is a recent development, and again, I tie it all to the invention of the Antichrists, television, electronics in general. It's so that they can pump your heads full of bullshit propaganda day in and day out. And who is it that argues with us? Who is it that promotes this racial integration? Who promotes the Jew? Who promotes modern Christianity, which is a poison? Okay? Who promotes all that?
The
same Antichrist, the same people, exactly, that are our enemies. They promote it day in and day out. And where are people fighting back? Where are the men? Where are the men with stones in their sack? Okay?
Well,
does a man with stones in his sack care if he's the only one out there saying it?
The primary...
Pastor, it's the preachers. You got your preachers out there talking shit. Excuse my English again, but that's what they're talking. And they say, well, you know, we're all the same. We're all equal. He's your brother. He ain't my brother. I don't have kinky hair, or I'm not a Mexican. I don't speak that. I don't have brown skin. I mean, they're saying, the Mexicans are our brothers. Mm. No, they're not. The races are cut down. They're Edomites.
You have to deny your senses and common sense to believe any of the horseshit coming across the media today. Phil had something he wanted to say. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, the primary reason why you have this promotional blacks, or is able to have a promotional blacks, is because your television is simply a visual medium. It doesn't. You don't have a smell-o-vision. You can't smell the Negro. You can't. And he's reading a script, if he's even reading at all, or he's wearing a helmet or something. Okay, and all you see is that image on the screen. You're not having to deal with him on an individual basis. And so when you do this, you get a totally artificial perspective of what the black is, and this is why he's able to be promoted. The notion of equality, okay, is the Democratic, the social Democrats see that a citizen, it has nothing to do with race. It only has to do with being a resident of the land. So long as you are in the land of what is the United States of America, you have a freedom to express your opinion as far as politics goes, and it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you own land, or property. It doesn't matter if you're white. It doesn't matter if you're male. It doesn't matter if you have a first grade education or a PhD. Your voice, because you have you have blood flowing through your veins, regardless of whether or not you're black, white, Chinese, Mexican, or whatever. If you can vote, you can vote, and that's what they're doing. They're undermining and destroying democracy, because democracy is mobocracy, and we're seeing it as we speak.
Well, weapons are substitutional in nature, right? I mean, they just, once they take away something, they have to replace it with something else, right? So they take away your nation and they give you a country.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
true.
Yeah.
But I wanted. I used to belong to here in our area, a German club. You know, you paid to go in there, and we were sitting there eating one day, and a friend of ours came up there. She says, "My cousin's child, okay, she sent him over here to visit here. You know, I want to introduce him to you, so I'm going to go get him." Okay, so she goes over and she brings this black kid over there, and she says, this is so-and-so, and he's, he spoke German, he did all that stuff, and she says, and he's German, and he said he was German, and I'm sitting there looking at him. I said, did you say that you're German? He said, yes. I says, I'm German, and you're German. I have blue eyes, you got brown eyes. I have blonde hair, well, it's gray now. I said, and yours is black and kinky. My skin is white, yours is black. I'm sitting here in front of all these people saying this. And I says, how can we be the same? And he...
It's a social construct.
I'm sitting there saying, I'm not stupid. You're not German. Or either you are German and I'm not. One of the two, because we don't look alike at all. And I says, nationality comes with looking alike. You don't look like me. Of course, he didn't like that, neither did his aunt or whatever she was. But, don't bring something over there to me and try and force a lie down my throat, because it's not going to work. I'm liable to do what I did there. Usually I try to stay calm and don't do those type of things, because I got my wife and I don't want to make her upset. But at this time, for some strange reason, it didn't bother me, and I said it in front of a bunch of people. So
we're entering that point where we can't be sitting around worrying about whether our women and children approve of what we men do. We're beyond that, guys. That's the point we're trying to make here. Okay, the men have to come back together somehow, some way, and realize that we have to lead the fight to save our people. Period. That's what we have to do. And we cannot worry about what the press says, what the Jews say, what the cucks say, what the Karens say, the social justice, any of those people. We don't give a damn what they say. The heroes of our race didn't give a damn about those kind of people. Whether you want to look at the Messiah, or you want to look at Thor, or you want to look at Val, or any of the other ones, or Alfred the Great, or I can't remember the German one now. Is that Arthur? Arthur, who, the statue of the Teutonic warrior.
Hermann.
Okay, so you look at those guys. That's who we emulate. Okay, William Wallace, the real William Wallace, not the Hollywood fiction, the real William Wallace, okay? Those are the people you emulate, the men who are willing to stand up and fight for what they believe in. And, again, if you want, we can find a Bible verse that supports that. What did the Messiah say? Who has the greatest love? That he who lays down his life for his what? His friends or his brother, his brethren. Okay, so right there, whether you want to be in the Bible or not, doesn't matter. I can take you, and we can support it through history. We can support it through Ben Clausen or George Lincoln Rockwell, or you can just use plain old-fashioned logic. Doesn't matter. They all agree. It's the old saying, the truth stands on its own, but it takes the force of government to promote a lie. That's what we're witnessing right now. The truth will stand on its own. Period. And we're already at the 2.5 hour mark, so I think we're going to have to start closing up shop here for today. And so I want to get closing comments. I'll start with you, Gary.
Anyway, Pastor, thank you. I was noticing we just got off of a trip for almost 4 weeks, and we went up through the Idaho, Utah, Montana, Washington, and you go into a business and you got to wear a mask. And I say, no, I'm not going to wear a mask. Why? Not good for me. I blow the same stuff out, it comes back at me. And, I mean, that was the excuse I used, which is true. And I notice all these people wearing masks. They're the same people that are wearing those masks that are staying in their house when the government tells them to. So the government has learned that they control the masses. Once you can do that, guess what? What we've been talking about comes true. So, Pastor, I thought I'd say something to that, and also that God bless you for putting on the show, and God bless them brothers that came in and talked the same talk as we do. Thank you, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless, buddy. God bless. All right, Chris?
I just think, you know, that if the tactical question or the strategic question is the most pertinent issue at hand, given, you know, everything that's going on and the rapid rate at which this agenda is accelerating, I don't know what else to do personally in my life except continue to, like, sharpen myself, preach the truth, and try to build a farm. Outside of that, I don't really have a whole lot of ideas on what to do. So that's what I'm doing. If anybody wants to help and jump on that project, let me know.
Okay. Very good, Chris. God bless. Thanks for calling in. Phil?
I would like to read from the Havamal, or the words of the High One. This is basically the Nordic version of the Psalms, if you'd say. These are said to be words of Odin, the Allfather. I'll read this to you. It says, and I'm not one for doctrine, but here's something that I think is a rather apropos for our time. The foolish man thinks he must live long if he from battle flees, yet an old age gives to him no peace, though he by spears be spared. And all of our heroes, all of our divine essences, our images, and are the ones we look up to. Are the warrior kings, and the women who defended the home when the man was out on the field. or when he was in battle. And this is where we are at. We have crossed the Rubicon. There's no going back. And if we do not stand for our race, we are doomed. And blood is the only thing that matters. It does not mean about possessions or how much money you have. Because just remember that the Jews, while you think they are rich, they have their system is falling apart because it's entirely based upon debt, and it has absolutely no intrinsic value of its own. And when this when it begins to rot from within, which is what we are saying currently, it will fall. And when it falls, you damn well better be out, you know, outside, or you're going to be crushed by the when the roof caves in.
Yeah, amen. Exactly. I agree. I would remind folks to get a good translation of Revelation 18, because I believe we're there. I think we're also at Malachi chapter 4 as well, and it fits in very well. And all those ancient writings are very wise. Even Buddha was a white man, so was Confucius. And if you read their writings, it's wisdom. It's the white man's wisdom. And even the Indian people and the Asian people know that Confucius and Buddha and people like that, they were Aryans. They don't have a problem with that. Yeah, they were Aryans. Even the samurai, the original samurai, were white. That's why the samurai all through the centuries shaved their heads and put their hair and put white face on to emulate Aryans. Okay? So it's not hard to prove, folks. It's really not hard to prove. So anyway, thanks a lot, Phil. We'll have to do this again. That was a spirited conversation, so, you know, had fun. And, okay. You know, have a great day. Y'all bless your heart, and we'll do it again.
Yeah, Father, richly bless both you and your listeners, and hail victory.
Hail victory. Sieg Heil. Very good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, very good. So that was Phil in Florida, that was Chris up in Virginia, and Gary out in California. These are perilous times, folks. I don't know how strongly we have to say it before you realize the peril that we're all in. Many of the YouTube content creators that I've been watching lately are saying the same thing. It wasn't just the Good Patriot or Colonel Potter or any of those kind. We are at and probably across the Rubicon, meaning there is no turning back. If you think the New World Order is going to reverse ground, you're crazy. Okay? I'm just telling you flat out, you're crazy. They are not going back. They're on a full court press because this is all they have. Okay? That's the facts. Whether you can back it up in writings, ancient writings or not, has nothing to do with it. It is a fact. And it is a fact that one particular group of people are instrumental in undermining every decent thing on this earth, and that is the Jew. Okay? Whether you want to hear it or not. And anybody that tells you these people are for our benefit or that they're up to good things is your enemy. Do you understand? Just like Q telling us that Alan Dershowitz was a patriot. What's that tell you about Q? Liars. Donald Trump saying anti-Semitism must be put to an end. What's that tell you about him? He's your enemy. Any military people saying that we are great friends with Israel and we must support them. He is your enemy. Period. Okay, I don't know how to paint it any simpler than that. And if you're a Bible believer, go back to the words of Christ in the book of John. What did he say to the Pharisaical Jews? Ye are of your father the devil. And the works of your father, who's different than our father, the works of your creator, your father, the one you worship, is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And all you have to do is look at historical documents that are verifiable and prove it time and time and time again. And in the here and now, if you don't want to get into that, just follow the money. The old saying my grandfather taught me when I was a little boy, you want to figure out what's going on in this crazy mixed up world? Follow the money. Which, what's the Bible say? scripture? Oh, that's right. The root of all evil is the love of money. And I think Confucius and Buddha and the Vikings and all of our people all through the millennia would agree with that. People who love money cannot be trusted, ever. I don't care what society you live in. Somebody who lusts after and loves money will do anything. They cannot be trusted, ever. And our government is full of them. Our universities are full of them. The medical establishment is full of them. The media is full of them. Even in the truther movement, you've got them. If they love money, they're of your adversary. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the spirit that's running through our ranks as we speak. And that's your true sons and daughters, not those who are the fakes and frauds, not the mixed mongrels that are out there whooping and yelling and causing all kinds of trouble, not the other races who are looking as a way to put a leg up on the white man. Not the feminist white women who are completely outside of their normal thinking and supporting this mayhem and the demise of the white male. All of these people are being exposed at this time. We thank you for that. Whether it's scripture or not, it's happening. You're separating our people. You're separating those that have any kind of integrity from those that don't. You're separating those who wish to see the white race succeed and those who don't. Those that have enough sense to know homogeneous nations survive. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And those who don't. You're separating people that have balls and those who don't. The cowards from the brave warrior. The fighter from the cuck. Everything is being divided exactly as you said. Exactly as the prophets told us it was going to be. And again, whether you want to believe in them or not, we're living it. The separation is happening. The wheat and the tares. The end of this age, this earth age, not the world, but this earth age, is coming to a close. We have crossed the Rubicon. There is no going back. So those that think you can sit in your house and let this all transpire while you sit safely in your little house, and you'll come out on the side of the whoever wins, that ain't going to happen. So you've got to make up your mind, and I think the writings that Phil shared with us are very apropos. And there's an old saying that goes right along with that. A coward dies a thousand deaths. The brave die but once. Did you ever hear that before? The coward dies a thousand deaths. For the rest of his life, he has to live with the fact that he's a coward. He wishes he had died honorably thousands of times over, whereas the brave man dies but one time. That's all. And we all die. It's part of life, folks. Get comfortable with it. Because it's your enemy that controls you because of your fear of death. Think about it. He's always guiding you by the nose with fear. Fear of disease, fear of death, fear of financial ruin, fear of losing your business, fear of your woman walking out, fear of your kids. Fear, 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 fear. Father, give us the spirit of discernment. Take away the spirit of fear. Give us the spirit of righteousness and courage. Especially the men at this time. Forgive us our sins, guide us in all that we say and do. May thy name be glorified now and forevermore. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.